welcome to a service of Word and Sacrament at historic Main Street United Methodist Church. I want to teach you a new call to worship today called I Will Call Upon the Lord. And I will sing the lead line, and you will join the choir and the echo, and we will learn it over the next couple of weeks. So take a moment to bow your head and humble yourselves before the Lord, and we'll stand for our call to worship. Let us stand before the Lord. I will call upon the Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Please join me at the greeting. As the friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah gives us this wonderful promise. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Our hymn is the hymn of missions, number 568, Christ for the World We Sing. Christ for If you watch much television, you are very familiar with the non-apology apology that's so much a part of our media culture. In the face of people avoiding responsibility, the church takes responsibility. Together we confess our sin before God, not to grovel in our sin, but to open ourselves to the great gift of forgiveness and new life. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you are the missionary God who came to us in Jesus Christ, and you have called us to be a missionary church. But we often do not know the names of our neighbors, and too often our homes are places to hide from hospitality. We make faith into a private thing and hide it away in our hearts. We have lost our confidence as witnesses and wonder what we would say when people ask hard questions. Have mercy upon us and restore us. Forgive and teach us. Grant us a fresh hunger to understand and live this faith with holy zeal. Stretch our prayers to be big enough for your answers, and drench us in a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that we may carry your holy name and your fierce love wherever we go. With the light of the Holy Spirit upon your life, I invite you to confess your sins to Almighty God in silence. Brothers and sisters, what a privilege to hear for myself and to pronounce upon you these words. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us all in eternal life. Amen. Bulletin, a note card. I want you to write your name on it and either your phone number or your email. You may do something with it later or you may take it home with you. I'll be telling you later what that is. Those on the aisle will please pick up the registration pad and everyone register and pass it down. If you're a visitor and give us your address, we will just write you a letter and tell you that we were so glad to have you. This evening at 5 o'clock, we have an Alpha class preview. It's a 10-week kind of hip course on Christianity using videos from England. We have a meal. You need to know about Alpha. We'll be having a preview tonight at 5 o'clock. The class starts in 2 or 3 weeks. Our Wednesday suppers continues at 5 o'clock with a wonderful menu with some programming afterwards. And next Saturday, our mission team, medical mission team, leaves for Honduras. This Wednesday evening after our meal, we're going to have prayer stations. We're going to ask you to come and to pray for the success of the gospel proclamation of this church in Honduras through missions. If you will look in your bulletins, you will also see a little care team chart. And I'm going to introduce you to two leaders of our care team who are going to come for a brief on the witness stand. And that's Lee Roberts, our parish nurse, and Susan Pinckney, who chairs our care team.
Are you aware that we have a care team here at Main Street United Methodist Church? A group of five of us started meeting a little over a year ago because we saw that there were so many needs for care within our church, and quite frankly, we needed some help. So it was our intention to activate the church to recognize care needs when they saw them and to respond to them. Now, I know that many of you are already caring on a regular basis for many folks. You have your list of people that you check on with visits, with cards, with prayer, and in other forms. And we thank you for that so much. However, we would like to get everybody on board to help us out with this monumental task. I would like to say that the people that are on the care team, there are three from our church staff, Pastor Phil, Kathy Kelly, and Lee Robards, and then the other two are Betty Stockman and myself, Susan Pinckney. And we would appreciate your help in this matter.
Quickly, I'd like for you to pull out your care team triangle here. And let's just glance at this quickly. I'm not going to read it to you. I know you can all do that yourselves, but just look at it. At the base of the triangle that holds the triangle up are the small groups, some of them, that we have identified that are absolutely so important and necessary for providing care for people here in our church. Sunday schools, circles, friendship networks, our retired pastors, the people who do the friendly visits that Susan has already mentioned. These people are absolutely the core of our care team. Anybody in your small group is part of your team. We ask that you be very purposeful in trying to keep up with these people, contact them, visit them, send cards. A little further up, our unofficial church visitors we've talked about, the people who provide in-home communion on the Sundays that we have communion. I don't know if y'all realize, we do have teams that go out and provide communion to those who are homebound. It's a very, very important thing. Next up, this second portion here are the people who are in-house, could be Pastor Phil, the staff, your care team members here. We are so willing and welcome to help any of you out if you should have any concerns or questions when you're out there visiting or contacting those people in your circles. And then above that would be when Pastor Phil or any of us would refer outside of the church. If something were more involved than what we felt like we could deal with, if it was a medical problem, a psychiatric, financial, anything like that, there are many resources in the community that we have contact with and will be happy to refer to. But basically, look around you right now in the pews. Do you know the people sitting next to you every Sunday? Most everybody sits in the same place. Do you know these people? Would you know how to get in touch with them if somebody wasn't there next Sunday or the next Sunday or the next Sunday? How would you know if something was wrong with them or if they're just out visiting with grandchildren? Be responsible. Take care of your fellow Main Streeters. That's all we're asking. Thank you.
We do believe that we as a church can do a much better job of reaching out with Christ's love to those around us. Would you please get on board and help us to be the church, the loving, caring church that we are called to be? Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. They do more than you know, and we are a team. They'll be down front afterwards. If you'd like to know about the care team or like to volunteer to be a part, we'd love to have you. Our lay reader for today is Ms. Lori Bassett.
Our first reading for today contains two passages from the book of Genesis.
Hear now this portion of God's story. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. He journeyed on by stages from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them living together. For their possessions were so great that they could not live together, and there was strife between the herders of Abram's livestock and the herders of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites lived in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herders and my herders, for we are kindred. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." Lot looked about him and saw that the plain of the Jordan was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastwards. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the plain and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all of the land of the plain, and saw the smoke of the land going up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the plain, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had settled. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I want our children now to come down and join Ms. Kathy Kelly for our children's time.
Come on down. I'm so glad Kathy was here to turn this on for me. I would have had problems. How y'all doing today?
Good. Got some more coming? Great. Another young lady coming. We'll wait till she gets here.
All right. I want to see those good smiles. Okay, because that makes it a lot easier when you're up here and you got all those people out there. And when you smile at me, it really makes me feel good. Okay? I tell you, I love to tell stories. Do y'all like to tell stories? Do you like to, maybe your daddy or your mama or your grandfather or somebody tell you some stories about when they were growing up and this type of thing? I know we've all heard that, haven't we? Well, you know, Jesus liked to tell stories. Jesus told stories in the Bible. And the stories that Jesus told had a big name. Does anybody know what that is? Can anybody help me out with that? The stories that Jesus told, well, they were called parables. Parables. And that was when Jesus would tell a story. Do any of you have a favorite story that Jesus told?
Anybody want to share a favorite story? Y'all not very talkative today, are you? All right, let's see if y'all smile. Let's have my smile. All right, everybody smile. All right, everybody.
I want to make sure y'all are here. Okay. Well, I have favorite stories. I got so excited in Sunday school today. Jimmy Logan had to almost pull me back. I got so excited, and we were talking about Jesus, and we were talking about some things, and it reminded me of my favorite story. And what it is, it's a story about love. And we're going to have a baptism here a little bit later, And Tyler and Jennifer are going to have a baby that's going to be baptized. And it's going to go right along with that too. But there's a story that Jesus told about a shepherd. Now, a shepherd was someone that took care of the sheep. That was his job, or her job. They took care, they were men back then, but they took care of the sheep. And the story's told that this shepherd had 100 sheep that he was responsible for. 100. Now, that's a lot, isn't it? 100. And one night, he was bringing all the sheep together for them to go to sleep at night. And he only had 99. My goodness, 99 were there. One was missing. Now, what do you think the shepherd did? He went to look for the one, didn't he? All right. Now, I wonder what we would have done. I mean, you know, 99 out of 100.
I would have waited for him to come back.
You would have waited for him to come. 99 out of 100 is pretty good. That's pretty good. But this shepherd wasn't satisfied. He went looking for that one sheep that was missing. And he found that sheep. And that shepherd just showed how much love he had for all of his sheep. That he wanted all of them there. He wanted them all. He wasn't satisfied with 99 out of 100. And you know, that's just like God's love. That's just like God loves each of you so much. I have a granddaughter, Mary Margaret, and I tell her, Mary Margaret, I love you all the way to the end of the world and back. You know, we don't know how long that is or how much love, but we know God loves us so much. And that story that Jesus told sort of shows that. And now we're going to talk about baptism in a little while. And we're going to have a baptism. And we're going to talk about the love that God has for that baby and the love that this church has for that baby. Because we're all in it together. So I love y'all. And I hope y'all love me and Miss Kathy and all of us up here. And we all love each other because that's what Jesus told us when he talked about 99 were there, but hey, I'm going to go find that other one. I'm going to go find that other one. If you'll repeat after me, thank you, God,
thank you, God.
For loving us. In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen. All right. Thank y'all very much. Now, one more time.
I tell you every time Shell does a children's sermon, I'm waiting for somebody to snap me a football.
That's next time.
Okay. If you look on the back of your bulletin, I have a minute of Methodist teaching. One of our most neglected baptismal vows is the last one. And it falls into three parts that are related to each other. The question is, according to the grace given to you, that means that the Christian life is not self-propelled. Will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church? There is a lie out there in the Christian world that you can follow Christ and not be faithful to a local church. And I do not believe it. And so when people come to me full of religious language and I ask them who their pastor is and they can't call his name, and I say, to what local church are you loyal? And they say, oh, I attend all the churches. I run from them as quick as I can. They're disconnected. They're not accountable. Nobody knows them. So as God gives you grace and ability, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church in one of its local manifestations? Now, why would I ask you to give up 48 Sundays a year to do that? So that you can do the next part of the vow, which is serve as Christ's representatives in the world. People will judge our Lord and His church by your examples. And you are Christ's ambassadors. you are to behave in such a fashion as to bring fame and credit to the name of Jesus. So in order to fulfill your vow, as God gives you grace, stay local, stay loyal. Represent Christ all week long. That card I asked you about earlier, I've written my name on mine and set a good example. Today's text and sermon is on getting in on the mission of Jesus. And during the hymn after the sermon, if you'd like to get in on the mission of Jesus by maybe having me come visit you about your calling and your mission, I'll be happy to do that, but you're going to have to bring me the card during the hymn. Or you can give it to me after the service. It's not a test of faith, but some of you may want to come forward during the hymn and just hand me your card, and I'll be calling you and sit down with you and talk about where is your place in the mission of Christ. I don't know where it is, but maybe I can help you find it if you're not quite clear. If you'll take out your scripture sheet, a rather long passage from Luke chapter 10 about ascending and receiving of 72 missionaries whose names we do not know. They are the no-name missionaries. After this, the Lord Jesus appointed 72 others and sent them before His face, two by two, into every town and place where He Himself was about to come. And He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, nor bag, nor sandals, and salute no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. He who is you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. All things have been delivered to thee by my Father, and no one knew who the Father is except the Son, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see what you see, for I tell you, the many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
On Saturday, November the 5th, 2011, freshman Derek Broadus was lying on the couch at his fraternity house waiting for the Tennessee Volunteers game to come on TV at 7 p.m. Less than an hour before kickoff, his cell phone rang. It was Coach Dooley of the Volunteers telling him a police escort was on the way to pick him up immediately. "I thought it was a dream," said Derek. Just minutes before the call, Tennessee kicker Chip Rome pulled a muscle during warm-ups. Starting kicker Michael Party was already out, having been injured in Thursday's practice, so the Volunteers, the mighty Tennessee Volunteers, were completely out of kickers. Now, Derek Broadus, a freshman, had tried out as a place kicker early in the season, but did not make the team. But on this Saturday, he was his team's only option. Minutes after he hung up, the police escort arrived to rush him to the stadium. They rushed him into the locker room. They put on his pads. They put him on a jersey with no name on it, while the trainer quickly tried to stretch out his hamstrings. Coach Dooley later told the press, "I said, 'Get out an APB on Derek Broadus. Just get him here and give him a breathalyzer.'" He later said, "I'm glad the boy was not intoxicated." Now, can you imagine the adrenaline of Derek Broadus And the fans, as the Tennessee announcer said, "Fans, you won't believe who this kid is. An hour ago, he was in his frat house with a bag of chips. Now he's the Volunteers' only kicker. This should be an interesting game." When the game ended, Broaddus had kicked 3 extra points and a 21-yard field goal in Tennessee's 24-zip victory. In the locker room after the game, the last chance kicker, Derrick Broaddus, had become a statewide Tennessee hero. And the whole team cheered as Coach Dooley gave Derrick the game ball. What a great day for football. Now, while sports analogies are often overdone in sermons, the truth is you never know when the call might come. You might not know when you get called from being a casual observer to being a full-fledged participant in something grand. What a day for Derrick Broaddus, the kicker with no name on his jersey. So it was that day for 72 of Jesus' disciples. We know the names of the apostles. We don't know a single name of the no-name bunch of the 72. They were traveling with Jesus. And one day, they got a phone call, and he called them to the front lines. And it was time to stop the straining, and it was time to stop the observing. It was time to put on the pads and get into the fray of missions. Now, folks, it was not enough for Jesus to do the stuff of the kingdom. To announce the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to call for forgiveness. Because if only Jesus had done the kingdom stuff, then people would say, as they do today, "Well, that was him, and he was sinless, and he was the Son of God, and he was anointed, and he was special, and he was one of a kind. And after all, we are not one of those people, so we don't have to do that stuff." That's a clever way to get out of the full implications of the Christian gospel, which is that Jesus embodied the kingdom, announced the kingdom, did the works of the kingdom, and regularly gave away the powers of the kingdom to his apostles, whose names we know, but also to 36 pairs of average people, the little old me's, whose names were never remembered. Now, there's an idea out there in the Christian world. It's a false one. And the idea is that you can have the benefits of Jesus without being his follower. It's as if Jesus has two titles, Savior and Lord. And people like the Savior title because he wipes away their sins and gives them a ticket to heaven. But what about the Lord part, where he rules my life every day? And I am his student and I am his apprentice. And my character is changing. And I'm preparing for the day he entrusts me with the work of the kingdom. I know people who in effect say to Jesus, "I want you to rescue me from hell and death and sin, but I do not want to be your follower." That's the diminished gospel of the American church. I want Jesus to fix several big problems, but I do not want him to mess with my life. I want to be a believer without being a disciple. I want to say certain things about Jesus, but I do not want to follow him and have him reshape my existence. Dallas Willard calls this being a vampire Christian. And the thinking goes like this: "I'd like a little of your blood, Jesus, but I don't care to be your student or to have your character. In fact, won't you just excuse me now that I believe in you and let me get on with my life, and I will see you in heaven." But how can we trust him if he wasn't true about the whole of life, about all the details of life and how they work best? And sometimes I ask people, why would you want to spend eternity with someone whose company you avoided every day of your life? Faith is meant to lead to following. And trust is meant to lead to training, to discipleship, to a daily walk with Christ and with other Christians in the Scriptures, living rightly, facing sin and evil, where the worst about me is made known, and He shapes my character and continues to encourage me to believe that I too can be an agent of the kingdom of God. I'll tell you, folks, most of my days are very ordinary. They're kind of doing church and ministry by the numbers and taking care of people and getting stuff done and working the to-do list and anticipating and trying to be very responsible. But there are five or six times in my life where I've had stuff happen like what happened in the Bible. I've seen stuff happen in front of me that required God to explain. And I just tell you, when I'm not praying for y'all and writing liturgical prayers, my biggest prayer is, why doesn't the good stuff happen more often? What am I missing? Why is it so hit and miss? If the kingdom of God has come near, how come I don't see more of the stuff that's written in the book? Now, occasionally I do, but it's mostly unpredictable. I'm kind of strolling through life, and the other world breaks into this one, and I stand stunned and flat-footed at the power of God. Now, the amazing thing about Jesus was He didn't keep the kingdom stuff. He owned it. It was proprietary. And then He gave it away. He had the patent. And then He canceled it. He had the medicines of the kingdom. And then He gave them away to 72 no-names. Not Peter and James and John. They already had a dose. But the people who we will never know. And His idea is that everyone gets to play. Not just the apostles, not just the theologians, not just the saints, not just the bishops, not just the pastors, but all the little old me's that are out here. Christ wants to work in your character and transform your life and fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit and put you in situations where God wants to show up. And Jesus said that He was going to be kind of tough. He was sending them as lambs in the midst of wolves. Now, That's not pretty. It means unless God protects them, they're going to get shredded. Has following Christ ever put you in a dangerous position? It's about like walking across a wilderness with snakes and scorpions. There's resistance out there. Jesus wants to share His kingdom with His people. But He does it by stripping us down. Can you imagine Derek Broaddus getting that call from Coach Dooley? You are our only hope. The Tennessee State Patrol will be from your fraternity house in about 2 minutes. And boy, you better not be drinking. Can you imagine that? At the end of that ball game, he was a hero for the whole state. How about when Jesus called 36 pairs of men? Says, the day's your day. I give you my power, and I'm sending you into Samaritan villages where people have hated Jews all their life. Well, can we carry a sword? No, you have to leave that behind. Can you carry a staff? No. Can we carry our credit cards? No. Can we carry a peanut butter sandwich? No. And I want you to even leave your sandals here so they will think you're poor. And Jesus strips them of everything of protection. And then He gives them the good news that there are wolves out there and they're sheep. He wants them to trust His invisible protection and His invisible provision. And out they go to 36 Samaritan villages. And they walk into town, just two Jewish guys. And they say, what are they doing here? Look at them, they're poor. They don't even have any lunch. And they go to a home and they say, peace be to this house. And somebody inside is receptive and says, peace back. And they invite him in, and they eat a meal together. People that hated each other, breaking bread. And then they began to pray, and God begins to heal. And it goes from house to house in the village. And at the end of the day, they say, this is what the kingdom looks like. And Jesus, our King, is on the way. We've come to prepare the way. In the early 1980s, my brother was an M1 tank commander, E6. And in the Reforger Games, which was our practice for fighting Russia in the Fill the Gap every year, my brother led a long line of U.S. M1 tanks to Reforger through some German villages that had not seen Allied troops since the spring of 1945. And when the Germans heard they were coming, you know what happened? To a little bit, all the old people, the people that had been there during the war, lined the streets as these U.S. tanks came through, and they threw flowers because they remembered the great liberation of 1945. 40 years later, they were still grateful enough to welcome the GIs. And my brother cried when he told me that story. So Jesus sends us out into the world to prepare the way for His visitation. And He asks us to trust in Him and to go into dangerous places and to trust that when we get there, He gets there and that good things are going to happen. And they came back and they were excited at the spiritual victories. And Jesus said, yeah, but remember, the most important thing is that you're saved and that your names are written in heaven. I'm glad you were church members. And I'm glad I've been a church member since I was baptized in spring of 1954. But folks, the days of being able to throw the doors open and have the place full, those days are gone. The church must shift from making church members to making disciples. Of people who let Jesus mess with them every single day. For what purpose? That they be cleaned up, that we learn His ways, and that we begin to experience the powers of the kingdom of God through the person of the Holy Spirit, through average little old me, no name Christians, whom Jesus accompanies everywhere they go. I have been to every church growth seminar offered by every national leader and writer of books for the last 35 years. I've got the manuals to show you. And while the techniques are not wrong, that will not renew the church. The renewal of the church is not dependent on having the latest management scheme from Yale or the latest church growth techniques from Fuller Seminary, though there's nothing wrong with it. What we need is for Christ to show us to how to be His followers, that wherever we go, we have the confidence that He goes before us to do kingdom business. I've been at this for 37 years. And if you ask me what I want, it's that I want to be a disciple. I want to get in on some of the goody that the 72 got in on. You see, you can hide behind a degree, an ordination, and a collar in the church, and you can miss being in the harvest field with the Lord. And isn't that what we're really hungry for? Isn't that the only thing that's going to change our church and change our community and change our world? Because the social engineering schemes of the left and the right just aren't working anymore. You have a destiny, and I have a destiny as disciples. If you'll turn to number 261. Cards, I'll be standing right here.
shame. They whip and they strip and they hung me high and left me there.
please stand? Thank you for this place, for the scriptures, for your challenging word, for the new Christian family that was formed here last night in a beautiful wedding, and Lord, for the gift of a child who's been marked as a disciple this day. Now, Lord, because your kingdom is not yet come, but we are still your followers, we pray again as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite the congregation to turn to page 33 in your hymnal, and for the Larkins family to come forward. Brothers and sisters, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Tyler and Jennifer, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? You accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace. Promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. Will you nurture Ryder McCoy in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now the vow we reviewed earlier with the whole congregation. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? And now a vow for the congregation at the top of page 35. Do you, as Christ's body of the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
As Christians have done at baptism since at least the second century, let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Church, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The congregation is invited to join us at the thanksgiving over the water. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Tell of God's mercy each day.
Tell of God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of Mary's womb. He was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations.
Declare his works to the nations.
Declare his works to the nations.
His glory among all the people.
His glory among all the people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and he who receives it, to wash away Ryder McCoy's sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory.
All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ.
All praise to you.
Spirit lives and reigns forever.
With you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Seated. And Larry will present our candidate for Christian baptism.
I present Ryder McCoy.
Ryder McCoy, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And God's people said, Ryder McCoy, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross as Christ on forever. The Holy Spirit shall work in your life that you may live all your life long as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said,
Amen.
I invite you to welcome as a new disciple and baptized member of this church, Ryder McCoy. I'm going to ask Larry to walk him down the aisle while we sing a cappella, Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so.
Ryder McCoy, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And here is also a baptismal certificate, Larry, that you can present. And now a blessing for the Larkins family. Folks, this is a beautiful thing. A young man and woman married with children. With each successive child, they come to the church to give the child to Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you as the Larkins family by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you and your children may live in grace and peace. And God's people said,
Amen. I'm going to ask Larry to blow out the candle and maybe just stand over there with y'all, because I'm going to call you back in just a minute. And there is a change. I chose our last hymn for the wonderful theology of the lyrics. But when I tried to sing it this morning, even I could not sing it, and I knew that you could not. So we're turning from 543 to 536. 536. And the name of that hymn is Take the Name of Jesus With You. We'll sing the first and last stanzas. Please stand.
With you, child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go, precious name, oh how sweet, oh for birth and joy of heaven, precious name.
I get to see what's going on in this church. And last night we had a wonderful young couple married here to pledge each other for life. Today we have the fruit of marriage, a child brought forward to be marked as a disciple. Good things are happening here. And I know some of you may have not wanted to be conspicuous and come out and give me a card, and I understand that. It's not a test of assertiveness, but I'm willing to meet with anyone who wants to find their place in Christ's mission. And so I'll be up here if you want to come give me your card. But please come greet this family and tell them that they have your support as they live out the Christian faith. Yes, yeah, see, even the kids said amen. There's nothing like the gospel. There's nothing like the church. There's nothing like the hope and help that God gives people through people just like us. That's enough blessing until we gather again next Sunday. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God's people said, Hello, Peyton.